looking at answers from the Lord, that obviously there were some good questions about situations and, you know, what should I do? But there were a whole lot of questions that you could tell came from a very painful place and some very, very difficult family situations. And so Pastor Haley and I want you to know that we love you very, very much. And, you know, there were a lot of questions. I wish I could just hug somebody and let you know that God loves you. And there is an answer, and God can help. And it doesn't matter the mistakes that have been done by you or by others or the attack of the enemy. God has a way out, and it'll help you. So I want to look at a number of different subjects, and let's get right into it.
Okay, so we're going to start with, there were a lot of questions on clothing, and I'm just going to say it really simply. Parents, it's your job to check on the clothing of your children. It's not our job to be talking about it up here from the pulpit. It's not the job of Impact or Children's Church. They'll get it there as well, okay? But it's your job. And so before your children walk out the door, see what they're wearing. But I think even long before that, explain to them why they need to dress the way that we want them to dress appropriately so that they're not attracting wrong things, okay? And we've already had a discussion about it, so we'll move on. But be cute, be pretty, but don't be sexual, girls. Okay? Cute and pretty, not sexual. All right? Okay.
Amen. All right. There were some things about some specific issues, sins of kids, and there were some questions about what should I do if my kid tells me they're gay or if they're homosexual. First of all, your love doesn't change. You love them. Probably you've got to do some listening, asking questions. But then on the other hand, you need to get some help as well. All right? And our church doors are open. Okay? And that is something that I've talked to not a small number of folks, okay, about before I got to Zambia and since coming to Zambia. All right? And so it's a sin. It's a sin that there's a huge chunk of the population that they've never really been tempted in that way. It's for some people, it's very strange. But how many of you know the blood of Jesus washes? Amen. It cleanses, but it also helps us to overcome. And Paul says in a list of different sins, including that sin, he says, you know, some of us once were. It means we can overcome. It means we don't have to be today. And so you may want to get the CD that I did maybe 2 years ago on homosexuality. What does the Bible have to say about it? Because it is not at all silent. And sometimes knowing what God's word has to say and having a foundation will also help equip you. But you are welcome to come and see me. You can come by yourself. You can come with your child. Your child can come by themselves. But we can help. All right. Another question was, what do you do where a teenage boy, all right, so a boy that's under your care impregnates a girl, okay, but doesn't have the source of income, all right? So that boy needs to realize he may not be at an age where he can be a husband, and so it wouldn't be appropriate for him to get married, but he has a responsibility to that child. He has a responsibility to that child and needs to step up.
For the rest of his life.
And he needs to be involved financially. And he needs to be involved at whatever appropriate level of visiting. He cannot run away from his responsibility. Okay? And I know there may be damages paid in certain families. But the responsibilities do not end when damages are paid. Right? That's not some absolution of now I don't have to do anything. All right. Now, on the other hand, what happens if it's your daughter?
If the teenage daughter comes home and says she's pregnant. And the first thing I want to say is that one sin, because the fact that she got pregnant, that's one sin, that should not lead to a second sin called abortion. That's called murder, and it's a sin. And a lot of times, abortions also come not from the child, but from the parent. And so parents, now you're involved in sin by pushing for an abortion.
Or the boyfriend.
Or the boyfriend, yeah, or boyfriends that take them. And I think a lot of times that happens to cover up so that as parents and family members that you don't feel shame. Well, it's called sin. It's called sin. And so we need to love our daughters, and we need to help see them through this process, and we help them as the child is born as well. I also think this, there's a lot of times that a girl gets pregnant, and the first thing is, well, go get married. Well, here's the question. Would you have married that guy? Was he marriage material for you? And if he wasn't, then again, two sins don't make it right. Okay? So I think we've got to look at this very carefully. And again, I think don't be running to cover up. But your kid right now needs to know how much you love them. You still love them. You're not happy with what they did, but you sure do love them. And you're going to be there with them and help see them through. Amen?
If you've got questions, if you're not sure that abortion is a sin, you need to get the CD from the bookshop. Okay? The Bible is not silent. It is very obvious that an unborn child is a person, and killing a person is murder.
It's murder.
Okay? And so you need to understand that the Bible speaks to that very, very clearly. Okay? And so the bottom line is sin is recoverable, but we don't cover up sin with sin. Okay? We don't overcome sin with another sin. So we can help. We can be involved in the restoration process. This church, we've got leaders, we've got people that can walk with you and walk beside you to help if, and I hope that doesn't happen, but if it does, we can help you.
Yeah, and just to put a plug in here too, girls, just don't go be messing around with those guys, please, because that causes more pain and more help, and it really starts with you making the right decision from the beginning. Okay? So let's start there.
And
okay.
Guys, don't be messing with girls.
And don't be messing with the girls.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. If your children are disciplined and obedient, should you let them play with your friends' children that are not? Well, I think you know the answer to that. You know, what is that writing on your child's heart to be hanging out with friends that, you know, do things that you don't necessarily like? I also think this is a very, very age relative question, because when they're little, it's one thing. When they're 15 and 16, it's another thing. So our children did hang around with kids that did drugs and drank, and they were okay because they were deeply, deeply rooted in the things of God.
But not at 10
but,
years old.
But not at 10 years old, they didn't do that. So Jessica's off in college right now, and she's got one of her friends from high school has called her in college to ask for her help because she's in a mess again because Jess helped her through high school. So, but be careful. Be very careful. But here's the bigger question. Do you even know their friends, parents? Do you really even know their friends? You need to. You need to get into your child's lives to know their friends. But I would say the biggest thing, though, is your children need to have godly friends as well. And the greatest place to find those godly friends, Impact Youth. I'm going to keep pushing that. There's great children out there, great youth kids that love God.
Amen.
Get them in Impact so they can have relationship with godly friends.
All right. How do you teach a kid to be thankful when God does something? We mentioned that in the teaching class, that whenever God shows up, whenever God does something in the family, have a time of praise, a time of celebration. Next
I'm
one.
Lost.
Spiritual training.
Okay, spiritual
Number
training.
Two. There we go.
All right. How do you make a 3-year-old understand who God is? Get the CD that we did on teaching. Because in teaching, you're talking about the goodness of God, His greatness. And every time God does something in your life or your family's life, you let your child know, this was our Heavenly Father that just did this for you. Both of our kids were saved when they became when they were 3 years old. Okay, they can know who God is, but it's you being that example of Him and pointing your finger to Him every time He's at work in your lives. And just always pointing your finger that way.
Yeah, this is a great, great question. How do I instill self-worth in a girl child so that she will not be mistreated by men in her life? And really for boys and girls, for young men and young women, giving them a biblical-based self-worth is arguably the greatest thing you can give them on the face of the earth. Greater than an education, greater than a college degree, is that they know who they are in Christ. And so for young men, knowing who they are in Christ will help them to battle the male ego. That is a dragon that needs to be slayed throughout our life, men. Amen? We don't have to prove anything. We know who we are in Christ. We've settled that. And that for young ladies, that they know that they are deeply loved by God. And they don't have to be deeply loved by a 16-year-old punk boy wearing his pants too low. Okay.
And I think one of the best places this starts as well is with the parents.
Yeah.
Your child must know that you love them unconditionally, no matter what. They know mom and dad love them. And their identity gets in that no matter what they do, good, bad, you love them. They're your child. I love that first song second song we sang today. His love never fails. It never gives up. It never runs out on me. And parents, your children need to know that from you, that your love for them never fails. It never gives up. We had a ton of questions from teenagers that don't feel loved by their parents. Tons. They need to know you love them. Identity is really going to start from you, and then it's going to move to the Heavenly Father.
And as parents, you can't give what you don't have. And so you've got to be secure in your identity in Christ. And so we've got tons of material in the bookshop. We've got CDs. We've preached on it in a lot of different ways. And we've got School for Life classes. And so for yourself, it's the greatest thing you can do for yourself is to know who you are and your position in Christ. All right? Got some questions about toddlers, ones, twos, 3 years old.
Yeah, I had a question. My toddler won't sleep through the night. What do I do? You know, I need sleep too. There's some great medical and psychology books that you can get on the development of children. I personally believe on this issue, if you keep tolerating it, you're going to keep getting it. We said this last week. So if they're crying in the middle of the night and you know that they're fed and you know that they've got all their needs met, you let them cry. It's really simple. It really is. And that's psychology 101, by the way. And it works. Eventually, but if you keep going in there to soothe them, you've set up the habit. They know that you'll come back and soothe them. So, but you can get some great books.
So, there's great stuff out there that's biblical, Bible-based. You can go to focusonthefamily.com. They have great, great resources. I recommend anything by James Dobson, Christian psychologist. He has some fantastic things about toddlers and that incredible age. And so I think in one sense, parents of toddlers, your number one job is just to keep them alive. Okay, so if they're alive and they have all their fingers by the age of three, then you are a fantastic parent. Okay.
Yeah, don't let them be climbing on the security bars in your house and be a monkey, you know.
So it's rough. That's a tough time. All right. But let me say this. Don't call them terrible twos.
Yeah. We said terrific twos.
You can have what you say, the Bible says. Okay, so don't declare silly things over them. All right. What to do when a child has a temper and stubbornness? Something that really helped us. We didn't even cover this in this class. But sometimes you get this in business training or in academic circles. But everybody has a certain innate personality. Okay, and there's a DISC profile, D-I-S-C, sanguine, choleric, melancholy, those types of things. There's a lot of material out there. There's even stuff for kids. And so when you understand your kid's temperament, it really helps you understand them. And the fact is there are certain temperaments that are naturally stubborn. Okay, and it's not necessarily a demon. It's how they're wired. Okay, now, we don't allow every temperament can also lead to sin. And every temperament has its weaknesses and downside. But understanding temperaments will really, really help you. So how do you deal with stubbornness? There's going to be a lot of times where you're going to have to conquer that with discipline. And you have to say no. And they have to know that your no means no. Okay? And that you're not going to allow fits and getting on the floor and in the middle of a grocery store and freaking out, and so you're going to need both knowledge and then go ahead and follow through with discipline.
Okay, let's talk again about sex. Lots of sex questions. Oh, go for it.
Sorry. Kids having a vision, career, right?
He has an aversion to talk about sex.
No,
so
I don't.
He's putting it on hold.
Okay.
No, go ahead.
There's another question about kids having a vision and their career. All right. There was a question saying, I've chosen this career for my child. That's not your job, parents. It's not your job to decide they're going to be a doctor, lawyer, street sweeper,
professional athlete,
politician, whatever. Yeah. You want to raise them. And then as they're looking and discovering, thinking about careers, you can certainly be a guide, you can be a coach, you can be an encourager, but that has to be their decision, okay? They're called by God, and you are a parent in their life, but you're not the prophet of their life, okay? And they don't hear from God through you about their career. All right.
Do y'all get that? Because we know it's happening out there.
Yeah.
Are you hearing us?
We know that you have wishes, and there are certain jobs that get paid more than other jobs, and you want them to be a success. All right. But one way to cure your child maybe of maybe they want to be a professional dancer. Well, there's only a few places in the world where you're going to get paid to do that. And maybe they can. But on the other hand is, after 2-3 years of being a professional dancer that is living with no money, then they'll figure it out themselves. And then you can encourage them to go get a degree. All right. So let's talk about training about sex, because that's important. All right.
Okay. Okay. Number one, again, both parents must be involved. Both. All right. And if one parent isn't, then do it yourself anyway. All right?
There were a lot of questions about...
Tons of those. Well, my spouse isn't...
My spouse won't do it.
They won't. They refuse. Do it anyway. Yeah. All right? Yes, I believe it's better for dad to be with son and mom to be with daughter. I think it's better. He was more than willing to do that, but I had many talks with my son. Many. And he still talks to me about stuff today. And so it's, don't have an aversion to it. Lean into it. You must do it. But it is better if it comes from both parents. It needs to be age appropriate again. So answer what they're asking. And if they're not asking, then go start talking about it. I think a lot of older children, you're afraid to do it. Teenagers, let me talk to you real quick, because I know there's a lot of you in here, or most of them are in second service. But if your parents haven't talked to you about it since you've been sitting in here, give them a nudge right now even and say, we need to talk after church. You take the lead since they're not. Okay? I'm Pastor Haley saying, teenagers, take the lead. Your parents aren't doing it, you do it. Okay? Parents, you should have done it. You had an opportunity. Kids, just do it anyway. You need to hear about sex, not from your friends, but from your parents. All right?
Amen. Okay, one question was, how do I do it? How do I talk?
You open your mouth. You just start.
Take a deep breath.
You say, let's talk about sex. And you just start talking. Okay? I do believe this. I think one of the greatest things you can talk about is being vulnerable with your child and telling them the struggles you had. Okay? That might sound hard for some of y'all, but be honest with how you struggled and what you went through. You know? Maybe your child's 18 years old and they already think that they're in love, right? Well, they think they're in love. They're not in love. They're in love with being in love. Talk to them about that. Help them to see that and understand
yeah.
it.
Okay? Somebody said, well, if I didn't have a perfect past, how can I talk about it? Well, the fact is the whole Bible is written about men and women that didn't have perfect pasts, but yet they became an example to us. And so maybe in your past there were mistakes, but you can bring that up to say, hey, I don't want you to have to go through what I went through. Let me tell you about some of the dumb decisions I made and why I made them, and I can help equip you to avoid that in your life. And it can be a very powerful lesson. There were questions about dating, at what age is appropriate. The Bible is silent about that. There's about what age. But really our opinion is, you know, during the teenage years, we need to encourage our teens to have friendships with the opposite sex. All right, it's good to know who the opposite sex is. It's very safe to be in groups. All right. So if a whole group of people are going to do something, it makes it less exclusive. And again, a perfect place that happens is at Impact Youth. All right. Somebody said, well, you know, I suspect that my daughter has a boyfriend. Go ask her. Go ask her. All right. And let me tell you, I know, being a dad, there were certain times, honestly, where there were certain conversations I really didn't want to have. Okay? But you just have, life is not about all the stuff that you like to do, right? There's stuff you have to do. Okay? And so, but just open up your heart, ask them, build a bridge into their life.
And then I know that culturally, you don't, parents don't even hear about who you're going to marry until you're already that far along. Right? That's what y'all do culturally. And I don't get that. I'll be honest, I don't get it. And so I'm going to encourage you again, youth and young adults, when you start liking someone, go introduce them to your parents early on. Why are you waiting? It doesn't mean you're going to marry them.
And maybe not the official thing introduction.
Right. But just go, because boy, I mean, I valued what my parents thought about this guy long before we crossed the line about to get married. And I did. I valued them. And so all through high school in dating and in college in dating, I talked to my parents a lot. A lot. And they gave me a lot of great advice. And they shared their stuff that they didn't do right. And it was a help to me. I think y'all are missing out on all that because of the cultural thing of waiting. I think that's why you're missing out. So again, youth and young adults, go tell your parents right now who you like. I mean, even on staff, boy, as soon as I hear about it, I go get in their lives. I heard, and let's talk. And the rest of the staff, they don't necessarily know, but I heard, let's talk, because I care about my staff. They're going to all run their guys and girls through me. That's how much I love them. I don't want to marry them marrying an idiot. You know? And do they have a job and all those other things? So let's talk. We need to talk more. We need to converse more, all right? We need to value this very much. Okay.
Sleepovers. Can kids have sleepovers and go to other kids? If they're going to go to a sleepover, you better know what's going on in that house.
Mm-hmm.
You better know what's going on in that house. And if you don't, say no. Okay? And if you, I'm not sure, err on the side of no. Okay, if you make a mistake by saying no. Okay, because you simply don't know what's going on in that house. Access to movies and porn and alcohol and crazy uncles and cousins. You have no idea what's going on in that home. Okay?
A lot of sleepovers happening in the high school years now, too, with mixed gender. That's an absolute no.
Yep.
Absolute no. Oh, but it's their last year of high school. So what? So what? That's called a call just to have sex.
And teenagers, what some of them do is the girls say, well, we're having a sleepover here. And the guys on the very same night, we're having a sleepover here. And then they join the two sleepovers.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're just setting things up for trouble if you say yes to that. Yep. So just don't say yes.
All right. So is it wrong? It can be wrong. All right. But you better know the family very, very well. Somebody asked about, from what age for little kids to warn them about rape and defilement and those things. But again, that's why from a very, very young age, moms, if you're bathing your daughter, say private parts are private. Nobody touches those. Okay. Has that ever happened? If anybody let them have an open door to you to bring that information. If it ever happens.
If someone tells you not to tell, you come tell anyway.
Yeah.
You say things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I say at a very young age, you start the process of talking about all that.
Somebody, we'll look at this in another area here, but somebody had a question. They said, we're thinking about a boarding school, and our 11-year-old son says, I can't wait to go to boarding school so I can make love with the girls. The question was, should I reconsider? Yes. You should reconsider that. All right. Money.
Yeah, we had a few questions about money. Because I'm looking at the clock, because of time, go buy the CD. Okay? Let's move on to media.
Media. Tons of questions about movies, cell phones, those kinds of things. All right. So, you must be engaged with your kids about their media choices. You must be. Well, I'm 12 years old, I have a right. No, you don't have a right. If I'm feeding you, I'm in charge. And I'm in charge of this TV, and I'm in charge of your cell phone. Okay? Their rights are not enshrined in the Bible, nor in the Constitution. All right. So, but the problem is that, parents, these are things we didn't face when we grew up. All right. But your TV at your home and your laptop and your cell phone is a connection to all kinds of violence, nudity, porn, and incredible nonsense. Okay. If you had at your home, if you had a firearm, okay, a rifle or a pistol, I would hope that you guard it and you store it very carefully. Why? Because it can be dangerous in the wrong hands. Right? And it's neglect if you just have it laying around. Okay? If your TV has unlimited access to your 13-year-old, you are a neglectful parent. Okay? You might as well have a loaded shotgun on the kitchen table.
So if they're home in the afternoon by themselves, all right, then I would suggest you take that television and you lock it away in a closet in your room until you get back home that night. See, I'm serious. He is exactly right. It's dangerous what they see on television.
If you've got something where you can block TV stations, do that. Turn off the internet. But don't give them access to that. Well, I want to trust my child. Well, that's gradual over time. But the fact is, a kid that's 10, 9, they've got curiosity. They're starting adolescence. Okay? You've got to protect them from that stuff. Don't let them go to any movie. At arcades or wherever. Well, we're going to the movie. What movie? Oh, we're just going with some friends. We're going to decide there. No, you're going to decide right now, and you're going to tell me right now.
And I'd ask to see the stub when they get back home, too.
Yeah.
I would.
Yep.
Especially if you're suspecting that they're up to nonsense.
I'm sure it's a nice movie. Go to Plugged In. It's called PluggedIn.com. And it'll tell you how much nudity is in it, how much violence is in it, if it's appropriate for kids. And we would do that, and then with our kids, as they got to get older, we would go to that website with them to say, okay, what do you think, guys? Oh, there's three sex scenes, somebody gets their head chopped off. Nah, I don't want to see that. Good choice. Okay?
To the day our kids graduated from high school, we had the passwords to their Facebook, to their computers, to everything. They knew it. We were very open about it. They knew it, and it was because we love them and we care about them. And from time to time, I would go check to see what was going on.
Yeah.
I would.
So.
Okay?
So.
But we're upfront about that. We don't go sneak around and someone said, do I have the right to check the diary? Sure, but be open about it. Ask for it and be open about it. Okay? They shouldn't be hiding stuff from us.
Your teens are going to kill me for saying this, but if you have a child that's in junior high school, secondary school, my recommendation is get them an old 15-year-old Nokia cell phone.
No data.
Okay. Not a BlackBerry, not an S12345678 Edge. They can text and they can call.
Actually, our kids only got smartphones when they paid for them. Because we didn't pay for a smartphone. They did.
They got smartphones in college.
And they was in college. Yeah. It was in college.
Yeah. Oh, I'm going to die. No, you're not going to die. Okay. Blame it on Pastor Walker. Okay. What we did with our kids is we gave them a budget when it came to TV. Okay. So you can't just watch TV all day, every day, days off, holidays, weekends. You had a budget. Okay. And so if it was 1 hour, 2 hour, once your budget is over, it's over. Okay? And don't let the TV babysit or parent your children, because they're very bad at doing it. Okay? And even the kids' stations are not great. Okay? What to do with a rebellious teenager? All right. A teenager, one of the things that we have to recognize as parents is, yes, there is evil, there is rebellion, but there is a natural thing that happens during the teen years, and it's called separation. Okay? And that child is taking steps to be on their own. Okay? And so that's why they want to listen to music different than yours. They want to have clothes that are different than yours. They want to have a hairstyle different than yours.
And that's not necessarily rebellion. That's what he's saying. It's not necessarily rebellion. It's them separating. So you've got to notice the difference between the two.
Right. So if it's not sinful, all right, there are certain things that are good to allow your kids to be different. Okay? You know, our kids would, you know, the style of their music was different. Okay, now I kind of like their music, or she doesn't.
Yeah, you do.
But when it comes to rebellion, when it comes to those kinds of things, you have to keep those in check. All right, and there is grace and there is truth at the same time. Okay, so again, they may want to wear, you know, goofy kind of clothes. If it's not sexual, if it's not evil, if it's not wrong, then allow them to express who they are.
Or maybe they want to color their hair purple. Does it really matter? Does it matter? I don't think so. I just don't think so. They like to do some crazy things. And again, as long as it's not against the Bible, if it's not sinful, don't worry about it. Okay?
Okay. How do you know if your child is smoking marijuana?
Go up to them and smell them.
It's very pungent.
Yes. There's a specific smell. I didn't know what it was. In ninth grade, we were on a choir retreat thing, and I smelled something in our room. I was like, what is that? I was very protected. And someone said, oh, that's marijuana. I was like, well, it stinks. I'll never smoke it. Okay?
And you do realize, Zambia, we got second in the world for marijuana usage, right?
Yeah.
And it's so funny when these things come out. Everybody in Zambia says, oh, that can't be right. We're a holy Christian nation. Wake up.
Yeah.
Wake up.
But seriously, you guys, if your kids are, say, 10 and up, you better be praying in the Holy Ghost and have the Holy Ghost in your life to lead you to things. Can I tell on you? His mama found bad music.
Oh, yeah. I was naughty.
He was
my
naughty.
Mom found out everything.
And she's praying, and God leads her to go check in his mattress for the tapes. And she found them.
She found my Highway to Hell tape.
Yeah. Yeah. But so you need to be led by the Holy Spirit, too. But again, if you're questioning, so many of y'all ask us, what if this, what if that? Go ask. Go check. Pray. Ask God to show you where to look. Okay? Be proactive. Don't be passive.
Yeah.
All right?
Is
rather
it
be proactive.
Is it fine to go through the diary of phone of your child? Yes. Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Yes.
Teenagers.
Yes.
Yes, it is. If you want to write about your mom, I'd rather go talk about it. Just go talk to her. Okay? Yeah. All right. Is it okay to involve the police when disciplining a child? Yes. Yes. If my son, if I found out right now that my son was engaged in something illegal, I would go turn him into the police. That's how much I love him. It's called love. I wouldn't cover up to try to protect him. How much I still love him.
Last time I checked, and there's lawyers in our church, if you hide a criminal, you're guilty.
But that's not why I would do it.
Right,
I would do it because I love him.
Okay. Yep.
I do.
And then bring them food in jail. Okay.
That's right.
Start a jail ministry. Hire a good lawyer for them. Okay. We're running out of time quickly here.
Okay. If you're a parent of adult children, you need to... This is just parents of adult children, okay? And when we say adult children, we can't necessarily put an age on there, but...
Somebody said your child is 30.
So, if you're a parent of a 30-year-old child... No, you don't have authority, but you should be more of a coach and a counselor. And it's them coming to you. However, If you're a 30-year-old still living in mommy and daddy's home, I'm going to say it that way. I hope I made a point. That means you're still acting like a child, and you need to get out of that home and grow up.
Or pay them rent.
Or pay them
for
rent.
Food.
Right.
Yeah.
But if you're living in that home, there is an attachment that's still happening, and that's on both of your sides. So adult child, move on, and adult parents, push them out. Okay?
Or charge them. That was awesome. There's I won't say who this was.
There was more than one.
But there was somebody in church. I said, hey, young guy. I said, hey, how's it going? He says, not too good. I said, what? He said, well, my dad heard your sermon, and he's now charging me 200 kwacha.
Yes.
And then I saw him three weeks later. I said, you doing good? No, my dad just raised the rent to 400. Well done.
Well done, Father.
Okay.
Yay.
This guy has a job. He's incredibly talented. He earns money. Okay.
But if you're 24 years old, your mom should still not be cooking for you. Really. Grow up. Okay? But let's get back to parenting.
Okay.
Single parent challenges. Had a lot of these questions as well. Divorced or separated and raising your children in two homes. All right? And how do you deal with that stuff? Again, the goal is that, you know, so he's in one home and I'm in one home. The goal is that we're both raising our children with truth and grace. As we know, that may not always happen. Okay, so if I know this stuff and my goal is to do truth and grace, even though he's not, I'm going to do it anyway. And one reason we have an aversion to it is, well, then he'll be the good parent and you'll be the bad parent. Well, do it anyway. I don't know why we care so much about what children or our parents think. I don't get that one either, okay? But here's what I do know is, regardless of what he does, I'm going to still do what's right. I'm going to follow the Bible, and I'm going to do what's right, and I'm going to pour into my children so they will become healthy adults. It's a responsibility that I have. And the outcome that they have, I'm going to be able to stand before Jesus and say, I did my best. I did my all. I gave them grace and truth. They knew that I loved them. And, yeah, sometimes maybe they got more from Daddy who cares about that? I'm going to do what's right. Okay? So if you're divorced, if you're single, if you're whatever, there is grace for you, but you've got to still do it God's way. And not be concerned about what they're thinking or other people are thinking. All right? We're putting too much weight on what other people think all the time. You do things God's way and great things will happen. It's really that simple.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
If there's a divorce, there's a separation, you're not doing your kids any favor to demonize the spouse. Okay? Obviously, there's a huge problem in the marriage, and it may have already gone to divorce court. You don't want to live with them. They've left or whatever. They've got another family. But don't take your bitterness and put it into your kids. Okay? I am very, very thankful that my mom and dad, when they were divorced, they didn't speak ill of each other to me. Now, they didn't really like each other at all. Okay? But they valued, my mom valued that I had a dad. And my dad valued that I had a mom. Okay? And so that's something that you can still do. All right? And so there were questions about a single mom working. It's a challenge. And you know, I'm trying to work, and yet I don't have enough time for my kids. There's grace for you,
amen,
ladies. There's grace for you. Now, the conditions that caused you being a single mom, some may have been your own doing. Some may have been that you were wronged or somebody left you. Okay, but the fact is God can help you, and he will. And so you're just going to have to get really, really good at being a parent. And there's going to be stuff that if there's no dad around, then you're going to have to do both sides. Okay, please. Don't marry a guy so your kids can have a dad.
Yeah.
Okay? Because if he's a bad guy, he's going to be a bad dad. Okay? And your kids will be better off with just you as a godly woman. Okay? Than having a bad dad in the home. All right? Now, but on the other hand, folks, We've got to stop sinning. One of these days, as believers, as Christians, we're going to have to stop sexual immorality. And I hope I'm able to see it in my lifetime at this church.
Amen.
I hope I can live long enough that we can obey God and flee sexual immorality, whether you're married or whether you are unmarried, okay? And I know sometimes there's brokenness, there's hurt, there's anger, I'm lonely, sugar daddies, all these kinds of things that are in all around us, all right? But we've got to say, for me and my life, I'm going to do God's way. And if I'm 40 years old and I'm a single lady, I'm going to be happy with no sex.
And if you're a parent that keeps pressuring your 40-year-old and 30-year-old daughter to get married, stop it. Stop doing that to them.
You're not making it easy for them. They're probably not thrilled already.
Okay? Stop messing with their lives. They're adults. Okay? And they are looking for a godly man. So don't pressure them to marry an ungodly man because you want grandbabies. Don't do that.
Go get a puppy.
And it doesn't, yeah. And it doesn't make them a nobody if they never get married.
Yep.
They can never get married for the rest of their life, and you need to love them anyway. Okay?
It's not a stigma. It's not a sin. Jesus was unmarried. Paul was unmarried. They seem to be pretty cool.
Yeah.
You're not a second-class citizen.
You guys, sorry, we're hitting this because the majority of questions were how do we do this because sin happened, basically. All right? And yeah, he's right. The sin has to stop, but so does the pressure.
Yeah.
The pressure needs
to
stop.
God can, if you're in it now, God can help you overcome it. But let's avoid it for the future. Amen? Let's fix it. All right. If parents are not agreed, all right, so it's not a separation, it's not a divorce, but a mom and a dad in the same home, really it's just what Pastor Haley said. If that other spouse is not going to do it biblically, you do it
anyway.
Anyway. You do it anyway. All right? And so teach the Word of God. Live the Word of God.
Now, if you're both in this church, you're here right now and you're not agreeing, go work it out.
Yeah.
Get it worked out. The whole truth and grace thing, you go talk about it. Fight it out in private till you get it down and right. Okay? Because you're really hurting your children.
Yeah.
All right? And you know better because you're sitting in this church. All right?
All right. We're so sorry that we're running out of time. But there were a lot of questions about dependents, nieces, nephews, those that have been brought into the home. And something that, and even before this series, something that we realize is that you didn't raise those kids from birth. So they've got certain habits, certain mindsets, that certain ways that they already live, okay? And so if you're bringing them in the home at 8, at 12, at 16, you just got to realize this is going to be tough. Okay, because they may have certain manners, they may have certain mindsets that are already set. Okay, and so it's going to take, really what you need to realize is the change is not going to happen overnight. Okay, and especially if you bring them in the home when they're already 15, 16, the fact is the change may never happen.
Yeah.
Okay, and you just do your best, all right? And
I'm going to say this. Don't bring them in your home if you're not going to love them unconditionally. The same physical items that you give your children, don't you dare withhold them from them. That's wrong. So if you're not going to do it right, then don't bring them into your home. Okay, you're doing more damage. I actually said this to him, and I'm going to just say it anyway. I almost think they're better on the street than living in a home where they're unloved and they're not taken care of. I really do. Because they've got these people that just ignore them or treat them like a dog. And it's not right. So don't even bring them into your home if you're not going to do it right.
Yeah.
You love them. You know, and then there's questions that you bring your niece into your home and you like her better than your daughter. What is all this? Well, she behaves better. So you love based on their behavior? No, no, no. You love because of what Christ did for you. He loved you unconditionally. put Jesus on the cross for you, and now you can't show that same love to your niece and your child the same? There's a problem, you guys.
There was a question about, somebody, we wanted a boy and we got a girl, and now we don't love this girl. Here is my answer. You need to be born again.
That's right. For real. It's not funny. It's not funny.
It is a fact.
It's true.
You are not.
I don't think you know Jesus.
If you don't love a girl because she's just a girl, then in about 6 minutes from now, you can get born again. And God will change your life. Okay? All right. Step kids. Step children. This one is a tough one. And honestly, I don't know. Maybe we'll do a whole nother session on this one day. But people that are smarter than me, people that have worked with families for a long, long time, one of the words of advice that they say, so there's a blended family. So here's the dad with some kids, here's the mom with some kids, and they now come together. All right. If a child is very, very young, if they're a baby, then they really don't know any different. Okay. And so then that becomes like a parent to them. All right. But if they've grown up for a certain amount of time, then what Christian counselors and psychologists recommend is the blood parent should be the primary parent that gives discipline. Okay? So there's a lot of times where, let's say, a mom has been raising these two boys, and she's kind of loosey-goosey with them, and then she marries this guy who's a real authoritative guy, and so now he's going to lay down the law for this 16-year-old.
Not gonna work.
It's a disaster.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, there's a lot of divorces that happen because of stepkids. Okay? There's also abuse and all kinds of things. So one thing is to say, all right, if this is my natural child, I'm not expecting my new husband to be the one who's going to give all the discipline and the authority. I'm going to do that more than they are. Because why? Because you have a relationship with that child. You've raised them. There's 12 years of trust that's been built up. Okay? And this new step person comes in. Okay? So anyway, that seems to work. It's sad when it doesn't. But again, what I would ask is get help. Get training. There's a lot of great information out there on blended families from a Bible, biblical point of view that you can get help.
And I'd even say this. Go do like another premarital for your blended family that's about to come together and get it all sorted out before you get remarried and blend your families together. I think that would help a lot too. If mom and dad figured out and even have a discussion with the children ahead of time. So, but there's great books on blended families as well. And we'll talk about it again.
All right. So I think we're...
Okay. Let me just say this. I think when we do second service, we'll start here. So if you want to stick around for second service, sit at the back and leave, you could do that.
Or get the CD.
But we'll start here for second service and so that y'all can get everything answered. Is that all right? Because we've still got a lot of things.
So one of the things we want to encourage you is God can redeem your past.
Amen.
God can redeem your past. There was a lot of questions that had regret, a lot of questions that had if only or I should have. And yes, we're talking about God's ways and God's principles. But one of the things that God does in the Bible that is so amazing is that he fixes stuff.
Amen.
He fixes broken lives. He fixes broken families. And I want to encourage you that wherever you are, and whether your spouse is with you or whether your spouse is not, say, God, help me. Help us. And to stand together for the rest of the remaining time that you have. All right? So one of the things that we're going to do is, on your way out, Pastor Haley did this really, really cool thing, and we kind of put it together. It's called the Parenting with Purpose Declaration. Okay, so if you have a child in your home, okay, so maybe you're a parent, but your kids are long gone, please go ahead and leave this for somebody else. But if you have a child in your home, on your way out, both sides of the foyer, please pick up one of these. Okay, you can. There are confessions. There's things that I have decided. It kind of summarizes what we've been talking about the last 7 weeks. All right? I believe it'll be a blessing to you.
And it's actually not the foyer. It's outside. We'll get you outside. And then can we just ask, if you're a parent with children in the home, can you guys stand? And we just want to pray for you. All right? If you've got children in your home still, why don't you stand? And then we want to pray for you before we close this whole thing.
If you're here with your spouse,
grab their hand.
Grab their hand. Okay? If you are seated, please stretch out your hand to these parents. This is a mega job. This is so big of a deal. And we need all the grace, we need all the help, we need all the wisdom that we possibly can find.
Amen.
Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we pray for moms and dads. Father, we pray for moms and dads who may be on their own. Father, where maybe they're following you and serving you and the other spouse is not. Father, we thank you for great grace upon them. Father, we thank you for wisdom beyond their years. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you will help them. Lord, to help them. Father, that those children would be protected. Father, that they would be safeguarded. Father, bring the right people into their lives. Father, we thank you for teachers and coaches and uncles and youth pastors that, Lord, that will speak into these children's lives. Father, help these moms, help these dads. Father, for every family here where there is a mom and a dad together, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that there today, from this day, there will be more unity. There will be more wisdom. There will be more help, Father. Lord, that they will be one voice, acting together, acting in unison, Father, to raise up a generation that knows you, a generation that will follow you. Father, as moms and dads, Lord, and Father, Pastor Haley and I say the same thing. Father, forgive us where we've messed up.
Thank you.
Father, we ask that you would make up for our negligence, make up for our sin, make up for our wrong. But at the same time, Father, from this day forward, we choose life. We choose your word. We choose the wisdom of God. And we will not be shackled by the past. We'll not be shackled with wrong thinking. We'll not be shackled with tradition that is ungodly, Father. We choose your will. We choose your way from this day forward. As for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. We will walk in the ways of God. And we will raise up a generation that will go higher and farther than we are. And Father, we thank you, Lord, for literally an army of young men and young women that are coming up behind me that will shake this nation to its roots, God. That the history books will record that this generation changed Zambia.
Yes.
This generation, Father, stood for godliness and stood for you. Father, from the schoolroom to state house, from boardrooms to bedrooms, God, we thank you for a generation that will follow you. And Father, we will be used by you to make that happen, Father. We lay down our pride, we lay down our ego, and we pick up the word of God from cover to cover. And Father, we will put it into the hearts and the lives of our children in Jesus' name, God. Give us the courage. Give us the ability, Father. And thank you right now upon men and women that are standing right now, Father. Your Holy Ghost is coming upon them, coming upon them, coming upon them. Words of knowledge, gifts of the Spirit, teaching the Word of God, living the Word of God, a flow of love, God. Oh, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, Father. We thank you for these champion moms. We thank you for these champion dads, Father. Lord, as they leave this place, they will still be holding hands. They will still be walking together, Father, for your ways and for your purposes in Jesus' name, Lord. In Jesus' name.
And parents, just take 1 minute right now if you've got your spouse with you. You talk to God together and you tap into his grace right now. He's got more than enough grace for you to do this his way, to lay down your old ways and to tap into his grace. So just talk to him. Just take 1 minute and just talk to him yourselves.
Thank you.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father. Maybe you're making a decision. We're going to do it this way. We're going to pray over our kids. We're going to do, just go ahead and make that conversation, make that commitment to one another. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father.
Amen.
Amen.
Moms and dads, we believe in you. We believe you're up for the challenge. Amen. Don't give up. Don't give up. Amen. Let's give these parents a big, big hand clap. Anything else?
Yeah. You guys, y'all can be seated. The last thing I want to say on this is that the more healthy you are as an individual and the more healthy you are in your marriage, the more you're going to be able to give your children. And we've got a marriage seminar this next weekend. And as of today, 53 couples have signed up. And it's so sad again, because so many of you sitting out here who are having issues with this, it's because your marriage isn't right. And so I want to implore you, today's your last day to sign up. Get out there and sign up and get to this marriage conference, because it will help you. It will help your marriage, but it will also help you raise your kids right. You're excited about going to do your kids differently, but it starts with your marriage. It really does. Okay? So go out there and get signed up with that too. We love you. It's been awesome doing this together with him. Mm. So we love you so much, and we know you can do it. Amen?
Amen.
All right.
Amen. All right. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much. Lord, let your word remain. Father, watch over your word. You said that you would. Lord, let it grow 30, 60, and 100-fold in the hearts of us, God. Lord, we choose you and we choose your ways. Father, we thank you so much today. Lord, for every single family that is represented. Father, we thank you for hope. We thank you for life. Lord, we thank you that there is a way out and there is a way up with you. With every head bowed and every eye closed. Friend, if you're here today, we've talked about things where sin and wrong, it's all around us. And unfortunately, when we were born into this world, it was all in us. The Bible makes it so clear, and I think we can accept this fact. We've all sinned. We've all come short of the glory of God. We've messed up. And that mess up affects us and affects others. There's only one way out, friend. And we sang a song today, Ani Doba, Ani Suka. So you can't pick yourself up. You can't wash your life. Only Jesus can do that. He can do that. How does he do that? When you put your faith in him. And friend, today, he will pick you. He will cleanse you. He will raise you. And you can put your faith in him. Maybe you're a backslidden Christian and you realize, I need to come home. I need to come home to my Father. You know what he'll do? He'll wash you. He'll restore you. He'll make everything normal again. But you have to choose him. You have to say yes. You have to put your faith in him. And so wherever you are right now, you say, Pastor, I don't know Jesus, or I need to come home to him. Wherever you are, simply lift up your hand. Raise it up and say, that's me. I want to give my heart to Jesus. I want to follow Jesus with all of my life, with all my heart. Thank you, sir. Thank you so much. Thank you, sir. Who else? Yeah, there in the back. Thank you, sir. God bless you. Following him, choosing him. Amen. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Awesome. Let's all stand to our feet. Everybody in the auditorium, let's honor what the Lord is doing. You lifted up your hand, or you should have lifted up your hand. You say, I want to give my heart to Jesus. I want to follow him. Would you just grab your Bible, your belongings, and right now, just come and meet me up front. I want to be able to shake your hand, and we're going to pray, and God is going to transform your life forever. Let's give these folks a big, big hand. My brother over here, over there in the back, just come. Just come right now. Really what you're saying is I'm stepping out. I'm stepping out of that old life. I'm stepping out of sin and wrong and unbelief. And I'm following Jesus all the days of my life. Thank you, sir. God bless you, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you so much. Anybody else? There were one or two, I think, more hands. And I know we're over time here, but let me tell you, folks, it's eternity. It's heaven and hell. Real people go there every day. Don't go to hell. Don't go to hell. Is there anybody else from over here? Anybody else? Just come right now. Just come right now. Holy Spirit, stop this whole service for you. For you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yep. Thank you, brother. Thanks for having the courage. Thanks for coming. Awesome. Now, what I'd ask you to do is just lift up one of your hands towards heaven. Just say this with me. Say, God, I believe that you love me. You sent Jesus Christ to die in my place. I give you my whole life, my whole heart. Live your life through me. Thank you, Jesus. I'm in your family. Amen. 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 Wonderful. We'd love to answer your questions. You can talk to Lafayette.
I came later than
you. Oh, okay. Okay. All right. Awesome. Okay. If you guys would just follow us, we want to give you a book. We want to pray with you individually over here. Thank you very, very much. All right. Now, before we go,